Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families, and welcome to Your Next Mission, a new program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. I love saying that. Your host, and we have a great show for you today. In fact, I should say we have a wonderful show today with you. We're going to focus on how we can support our veterans and families with one of my dear friends, I should say a great friend, and a great supporter of our veterans, John Bradshaw Layfield, also known as JBL. You usually see him with that big cowboy hat on, usually. I don't know if he still wears it. Also, I have a couple of stories that I want to share with you, like always. Now, before we get started, I want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love, and there's no question about that, they love our veterans and families. As I mentioned today, the theme is about support of our veterans and families, and I'm so excited to introduce John Bradshaw Layfield, also known as JBL, a WWE Hall of Famer, and I think the longest-serving world champion in WWE, a great supporter of our veterans. And John, welcome to the podcast.
Sergeant Major, I've been looking forward to this ever since your friend Ted Hacker called me and said, hey, would you come on with Sergeant Major? So, are you kidding me? I'd get lined to go on with Sergeant Major.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm just glad to have you on here. Glad to get a chance to talk to you because it's been a little while. John, but you've been doing so much since you retired from professional wrestling. And I really can't wait to hear that. But can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I was raised in Sweetwater, Texas, which is a small town out near the oil fields of Midland, Odessa. It was a really poor area when I grew up. It's kind of feast and famine out there, you know, with the wild wildcatters that are in the oil business. It's when oil prices are high, the place was rolling. But when I was growing up, the oil prices were pretty low. Cattle prices had gone south, and it was a really poor community. Now it's just the opposite. Wind power is everywhere. The county I grew up in is the wind capital of the world now as far as the wind turbines, which has changed the economics for farmers. And the oil has come back with horizontal drilling. And so the place is now completely opposite of how I grew up. It's just it's rolling in cash, which is great to see. There's some great people out there.
But you sound like me. I struggled a little bit when I was a kid. I didn't have a whole lot of money to do anything. So, but I was blessed to have a great family and blessed to have a lot of great people around me. John, you had you got into professional wrestling, really became a dominant force in WWE. So, can you tell me, how you got started in professional wrestling?
Sure. I was playing football. I grew up a professional wrestling fan. When I grew up, my grandfather, who I adored, lived near us. And we got the Von Erich Wrestling out of Dallas, KTV Channel 11 on Saturday nights. I used to watch it with my grandfather. And we got the Funks a little bit out of Amarillo. Wrestling had five different territories in Texas. You had the Funks in Amarillo, Von Erichs in Dallas, Joe Blanchard in San Antonio, Gory Guerrero in El Paso, and Paul Bosch in Houston. And I got two of those. And I'd always wanted to be a professional wrestler, but in West Texas, there's two sports. There's football and there's spring football. And and you want to get into society, you got to play football. And I love football. I loved everything about it. Still do to this day. I coached 1 year in junior college. Loved coaching it. And I went to Abilene Christian, which is right near where I grew up. And got some honors and got to play a little bit of professional football. I was hoping to play, say, 8 or 10 years. But either one of two things happened. I had tons of knee surgeries, which I blame it on, but it could have been on a lack of ability. I'm not sure. I like to say it's knee surgeries. Yeah. But when I got cut my third year, I was playing in the World League of American Football in San Antonio. Mike Riley was our coach. In fact, Jason Garrett, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, was our quarterback. And when I got cut, I'd met a guy who had wrestled in Japan. And so I called him up. And I asked him, I said, how do you get into wrestling? He said, well, you got to be trained by somebody. So found out the best trainer was Brad Rheingans out of Minnesota, who trained him. He was the 1980 Greco-Roman world champion, would have been the gold medalist, but that was the year that the Olympics were boycotted. And Brad was known as the best trainer in the world. So I cold called him and said, I want to come up and train with you. And he said, come on up. I got a class going right now. I got a basement you can live in. We train in the basement of my house. And so for 6 months, I spent a summer and a little bit more up in Minneapolis training with Brad, learning the Greco-Roman style, the freestyle, then the professional wrestling that evolved from that. And that's how I got my start, because when I came out of there, Brad had such a good name, I was able to get some jobs.
Yeah, so you never wrestled at all before that? I mean, that was the first time you ever did any kind of wrestling? You never did any school or college or anything?
I wrestled a bear once in college.
You didn't. Was it a big bear?
An 800-pound brown bear. I didn't really intend to. But
when did you win?
No, I wish I would have. I got $1,500 if I won, and that was like $1 billion back then to me. We had a terrible year 1 year in football, and our coach had Bull in the Ring, which was one of the dumbest drills there, where one guy gets in and throws somebody out, no rules, no nothing. Yeah. So I'd go out there every day, Bull in the Ring, and I was winning day after day, and some of the freshmen said, how would you do against a bear? And I said, oh, I'd kill a bear. I remember Paul Bear Bryant wrestled a bear. And so they signed me up for this bear. I didn't know. 2 months later, they said, hey, the bear's here. I said, what? So they had signed me up to wrestle a bear in a bar in Abilene, Texas. So I get there, the place is packed, and I look up, and there's this 850-pound brown bear.
That oh, my goodness.
It turned me inside out.
I'm sure he was declawed and everything, wasn't it? I mean, there's no
declawed, and he didn't have front teeth. In fact, the back teeth ended up getting my thumb here. You probably can't see it. A pretty good bite. But it wrestled as hard as I did. And so I realized that at one point, and I thought, if I just relax, the bear will relax. And sure enough, it did. And it relaxed. I threw it on its side. And when it hit its side, if I get on its back, I win. The bear absolutely erupted, just went National Geographic on me, just went crazy. It threw me up and knocked me across, and there was no, ring. It was just a dance floor with a rug on it. Knocked me under a table, drinks went everywhere, and here comes the bear jumping on top of me, the table, the drinks, everything. And they literally had to get the trainer with a steel rod to hit the bear on the head. And my college roommates had my arms and my legs pulling me out from under it. So that's
oh my God.
When we got done, I don't know how long it took. It may have been 40 seconds. It felt like it was 40 days. I'm laying on the dance floor. I'm completely exhausted. My whole face is black where he'd been pawing me, like getting hit by a heavyweight boxer. Oh, and I'm just laying there. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I just got mauled by a bear. And the owner of the bar comes up. He goes, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If you do this again, no. I said, I won't even go to a zoo again.
Oh, my God. I can picture that in my mind. You know?
So I had wrestled a bear. I got a picture, a few remaining pictures of it, but I did wrestle a bear, but no amateur training other than the bear I wrestled.
Did anybody, probably back then, they didn't film it or anything, did they?
They didn't film it, but I got pictures of it. Yeah. And it's a great story because the athletic director called me into his office the next day, and the head coach calls me and he goes, hey, did you wrestle a bear last night? And I said, crazy that sounds, yes. He said, the athletic director is furious at you. And he goes, put a bar, and just not good for our college. We're a Christian college and wrestling a bear. And he goes, do you have a plausible story? I said, I think so. So I went into this, visit the athletic director. And this is way before cell phones, way before, I had to get a picture to develop. Well, somebody had been into a 1 hour photo, which had just come out, and developed the pictures and had left them in the training room. And so I'm sitting there in front of the athletic director, and I'd been in trouble with him so many times. And every time I told him the truth, he threw the book at me. And I was like,
so you just started lying, I guess.
I'm just going to lie. And he said, did you wrestle a bear at a bar last night? And I said, do you know how stupid that sounds? In Abilene, Texas, if I wrestle a bear in a bar? And he said, so your answer is no. And now I'm thinking, he has something. I said, my answer is No. He threw the pictures down of me wrestling the bear from the night before. And he said, what are these? I said, you said bear.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, he absolutely threw the book at me again. I get the story out of it. He doesn't.
You know, I don't know if we can get through this if I stop laughing a little bit. We're talking with John Bradshaw Layfield about supporting our veterans and families. And you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. John, I like to focus this next part of our discussion, not on bears, on when you first realized that you want to do more with our veterans and help them as much as you can. When did you realize you wanted to do that?
It was around 2001. I'd wrestled through what we call the Attitude Era. And when I first went to WWE, business was pretty bad. I'd wrestled all over the world. I wrestled Japan. I'd lived in Europe for 2 years, in Austria and Germany, working for Otto Wanz and Peter William over there, famous old territory. Made it to WWE in 95. And then Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, got really hot. And business just exploded. And then during that time, we were in Houston when 9/11 happened. And I just, like everybody, remember it like it was, this morning. And right after that, I told Vince McMahon, I said, I want to go down and visit Ground Zero and take us one step back. 9/11 happened, I believe, on a Tuesday. And I believe on the Thursday, I could have my days off, one day here or there. I believe on the Thursday was 9/13, which would have been if 9/11 was on Tuesday. And we had the first mass gathering of any group in the United States after 9/11. And you remember the time. You didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You didn't know this was a wave of attacks that was coming through, because you had all these four different attacks coordinated. You didn't know if another wave was coming, what would happen if you were a mass gathering, if you would be a target. I mean, if there was a target, we were going to be one. And Vince McMahon got the crew together, and he says, we're going to do this for America. He said, I think this is the right thing to do. He said, I don't know if anybody's going to show up. And he said, if you feel uncomfortable, you don't have to appear. And, security was amazing at the time. You weren't sure how security would play out. Since then, it's become more seamless. But back then, it wasn't. They just had dogs and security going through the building. 20,000 people almost showed up that night. Everyone had an American flag, it seemed like. And I just remember sitting there when one of our young ladies, Lillian Garcia, saying, God bless America, and just tears coming down my face. It was so emotional to see all those flags and to know America was under attack, but this was America saying, we're not bending the knee. We're going to continue our life, and this is our statement. It was really all we could do at the time, but it's something that we thought was important. And right after that, I told Vince McMahon, I want to go down and visit Ground Zero and just help the firefighters, the first responders. And he said, well, if you go, our whole company's going with you. And we didn't make any press announcement about it. We just went down there and visited the firefighters and clapped for them as they walked in and out, talked to them. And, bodies were still in the buildings at that time. And when you fast forward, say, a month or two, Vince called me and said, would you like to go to Afghanistan? Because he knew my passion for, what happened after 9/11. And I said, I would love to. And that's when I first went on the first tour with you to Afghanistan that Christmas, with you and Daryl Worley and Mark Wills and Terry Turner and so many other people. And that's when I kind of realized, this is something I want to do to show my support, because I can't do anything else. I didn't serve. I wasn't part of the armed forces. But at least I could go over there and tell those guys, thank you. And that's something that I did. And for, say, 7 or 8 years at Christmas, until we came out of the war in Iraq.
Yeah. Hey, John, you had a great story when I was talking to you the other day. You talked about the reason why WWE went into Iraq and started doing that wrestling event there. And I if I remember correctly, I was involved in some little way, I guess.
You are the reason behind it. I've told this in every interview I've ever done, that you are the reason behind it. That year, I went with you and Daryl Worley, Mark Wills, and Kerry Turner to Afghanistan. The next summer, I went back with Ron Simmons, who was my tag team partner. You met him at my wedding. First Black World Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. And it was just hot as it could be. We were in southern Iraq, and somebody told me that you were in country. And I said, well, could I talk to him? And I remember them looking at me like, you don't just talk to the Sergeant Major of the Army. Like, exactly. This isn't going to go through. I said, well, give him a call and see if he'll answer. And sure enough, you answered. Everybody around me was, he's talking to the Sergeant Major of the Army. So when I talked to you, you said, are you over here wrestling? And I said, no. I said, I just came over here to like a handshake tour. And you go, oh, that'd be great if you were. And from that, I thought, man, it would be great if we were. And so the next base we got to, I sent Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, his right-hand guy, an email saying, hey, wouldn't it be great if we did something like the Bob Hope USO special, where we came over here with a plane load full of WWE stars and DVDs and video games to give out, lived in the flight operating bases, lived with the soldiers, and spent Christmas really with the soldiers, but then also filmed a WWE event in the combat zones and show as many soldiers as we can on television. And Vince right away got back to me, said, hey, this is a great idea. Write me up a one pager and let's go with this. And I did. By the time I got back, the whole thing, which was called Tribute to the Troops, they came up with the name, had been developed. And it's run for almost 20 years since. It was nominated for, I think, 2 different Emmys. And every Christmas we've spent in somewhere with soldiers around the world, no longer in the war zones of Afghanistan and Iraq, but wherever the soldiers are, we go.
You know, it's good. You say it was nominated for 2 different Emmys.
Nominated.
Yeah. Could I just, what I was going to say is, could I get part of that? You know, maybe get a, no, never mind.
Just random. Get one.
Well, you know, I always tell people, if you believe you can achieve, and you got to stay focused in life. And that's why I really love talking to guys like you and you especially, but people that have a vision and can take an idea and run with it. And you did, and you've changed. You probably wouldn't know it, but you've changed a lot of lives. And WWE has changed a lot of lives, and you helped a lot of people just by simply going and patting them on the back or shaking their hand or taking a photo. It's the little things in life that mean so much. And John, I from not just from me, but really from all the veterans and lives that you've touched, God bless you for what you do and what you continue to do. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Your Next Mission Podcast.
This Your Next Mission Podcast is made possible by The Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at VeteransUnited.com.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Telly. We're blessed to be here today with John Bradshaw Layfield. I love saying just JBL. John, I'd like to focus this next part of the discussion on how you got to the support-based youth development. And I want you to, you know, tell us a little bit about that. How'd you get into sports with kids? I mean, that's sort of a drastic shift from WWE to kids sports and stuff.
It is a drastic shift, and it all came about just because of a chance meeting down in South Africa. I'd retired from wrestling because of a lot of injuries and broke my back in a match in Earl's Court in London and ended up having to retire. And I went down in 2010 to the Soccer World Cup down in Cape Town, South Africa. And I was supposed to go with Nelson Mandela to Robben's Island, but that's when Mandela, the president, first started getting sick and he couldn't go. But I went with Desmond Tutu, which was an unbelievably cool experience to go to Robben's Island with the guy who'd been there and suffered so much for the good of the South African people. And as I came back, I was ran into Nick Keller, who was founder of Beyond Sport. And he asked me, he goes, just randomly, he said, hey, would you like to go to the shanty town outside of Cape Town tomorrow morning? I said, it'd be easier to go to the wharf to get robbed and then we got a lunch. He said, no. He said, we're going down there to visit this sports program, Mighty Milers, that uses running to get kids educated and get them out of the shanty towns. And I said, that sounds wonderful. I said, I'd love to go. So I go down there and I see this program. These kids are barefoot. It was raining that day. They didn't have any shoes. It wasn't that they chose to run barefoot. They didn't have any shoes, period. And I realized the difference that you can make in kids' lives using sport as the carrot to get them in to bring about change. And I literally thought to myself, I was ashamed. I thought, I've wasted 40-something years of my life without realizing all the good that's going on. And I came back to Bermuda where I just moved, made a lot of problems with gang issues. And I called Nick and I said, hey, they have the same issues here that they have there. And he said, John, at-risk kids are at-risk kids. No matter what the risk is, they have the same things manifest themselves from that risk and from generational cycles that you have to break. And I said, well, what can I do to help? And he said, well, why don't you start up a program? And so I did. I started up a sports program in Bermuda, a rugby program. And we got the kids involved, and we had about 300 kids in our program. We had 100% graduation rate, 100% non-incarceration rate. And we ended up getting some global awards out of that, what we did in Bermuda, because it became an island-wide initiative. People really got behind it and really wanted to help these kids. And because of that, I've been able to go all over the world, from the slums of Mumbai and Delhi to East Africa, where I built some schools and sports facilities, or helped build down there, and worked with some programs to Harlem, to Memphis, a great program I work with right now, and Chicago, working between the Latin Kings and 2-6 Nation gangs, a wonderful program up there, Beyond the Ball, Rob Castaneda. And it's kind of opened up my life to what sport can do. I love sport. I love kids. I always wanted to be a coach. But to me, this is so much more important, because you're actually doing something that's not just teaching them the game, you're teaching them life. But that's how the whole thing happened, from a chance meeting down in Cape Town.
Yeah. John, two things I want to tell you. One is, I was one of those troubled youth. I don't know if you ever knew this or not. I wrote a book. It's in my book. I spent time in reform school. I was a terrible kid. Everybody's not blessed to have the perfect life. But when I went in the Army changed my life. It really, made me grow up and develop. And of course, war changed my life too. So, thanks for doing that for kids, because I know that there's a lot of kids around the world that need a lot of help. And all they really need is just a pat on the back and maybe a helping hand a little bit to get them in the right direction. For our audience, is there a website or something they can go to and sort of look on if they want to sponsor or look at what you're doing? Or do you have a website?
Yeah, the best program I think I've ever worked with, and I'm just on the board there. It's a group Shane Young helped start in Memphis. It's Memphis Inner City Rugby. Mm-hmm. And they do incredible work down there. They have 100% graduation rate, some of the worst child poverty in the United States. But they also have 100% of their kids that are going somewhere after high school, whether that be military, trade school, or college, which is just a phenomenal record, because they have a true pathway program that gets these kids out of that poverty into something. And then they follow up with them with the alumni program. To me, it's one of the best. There's some wonderful programs.
The other thing you just made me think about, when I was in Afghanistan, the educational level in Afghanistan is like 2.3 or something. Like, most of them can't read or write. Is that the same situation that you had in the places you went and Bermuda and Africa and stuff?
There's a great program there. I've never been to visit it. I've never even talked to the guys. It's called Skatistan. And they actually take skateboarding and skates, and they work with young girls and young boys in Afghanistan and in these war-torn ISIS-controlled territories. And they change these kids' lives through skateboarding and skates. It's the same exact thing as sports-based youth development. I've seen, from sex trade in Cambodia, using dance to get girls out of it, to soccer in, say, Mumbai. I was there one day when you had a Hindi and a Christian and a Muslim girl. And most girls there don't play sports at all. And there they are playing sports together because that's the common language. And that just doesn't happen, without something – some common denominator. But more importantly, the common denominator is they reach out to the community, say, if you'll send your kids to us, we not only will let them have a great time playing sport, but we'll make sure, or at least we'll try, they don't become child brides, they don't have child pregnancies, and we'll get them through school and get them some type of job. And that is an incredible draw. Sports breaks down all barriers.
Yeah. Yeah. For the people that are listening today, don't sit on the side. Reach out and help somebody. Even if you help one person, you're changing their life. And that's really what this this world and this country is about. I want all our listeners to reach out to me and tell me directly. Tell us about you know, what you need or what topics you want us to cover on this podcast. You can call me or text me at 844-424-1134. And I'll reach out to you. I'll actually call you and talk to you about what you want on the podcast. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. You're listening to Your Next Mission podcast. I'm Jack Tilly, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. We're talking with John Bradshaw Layfield, a wonderful American, a wonderful friend, a leader for a lot of people. WWE Hall of Famer. And a world champion wrestler, the longest serving world wrestling champion. I wonder whether to know that. John, we're heading into the final segment today, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I know I've enjoyed it. I don't think I've laughed this much in a long time. And I have just a few more questions for you. John, what is the one thing you've done throughout your career that had you know, a big impact, a positive impact on your life and those around you?
I think the is seeing the entire movie of, as they say, when you see the entire spectrum of events, from being part of 9/11, as far as watching it like everybody else did on television in horror, and then visiting Ground Zero and then going to see the troops and seeing what they're doing to prevent us from having something like this again. That was really a remarkable event. It's just a gift that you get that, you know, we just happen to be born in this country. We could have been born in Afghanistan under Bin Laden, or we could have been born in Germany under Hitler.
Yeah.
We were lucky. And to see this gift that we've gotten because of these heroes that are doing things like they've done in Afghanistan and in the Middle East is one of the things that's been most transformative to me in my life.
Yeah. I just talk to people about the circle of life. You know, when you start off, you're standing in a 360-degree circle. And if you want to succeed in life, you got to keep stepping forward. You got to stay moving forward. And thoughts and ideas, like you talk about the sports program or WWE or NFL or whatever you're doing, it's about moving forward and changing lives of people. And that's what you're doing each and every day. And God bless you for what you're doing, because it's people like you that make a difference. You know, we have a great country. And I know there's a lot of people that have the motivation that you have, that in some cases don't do the things that you have because they sort of sit back. So don't sit back. Be like JBL. Take a step forward. Step out of that circle and help people. Do all you can. No matter if it's a little thing or a large thing like John's doing, the small things change lives. Just what I told John a minute ago, just a pat on the back or just a hand or how you doing or thank you. One of the things that always bothers me is when I walk by people, they always look at the ground. And when they look at the ground, I always say, hey, how you doing? I yell at them because I want them to look me in the eyes and let them know that, you know, I love them. You know, I love everybody. I love all people. I'm not going to give them no money or nothing, but I love all people. John, do you have any final thoughts or something you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, I do. You know, I'll tell you a story about that. We had a kid, and I wasn't making much ground with our kids in Bermuda. You know, we had all kinds of different gangs and all kinds of different problems that were going on. And we had, you know, first day we're going to have a program, we had a kid murdered and on our program for a few days because of that. So the fights were pretty serious. I had a kid one day, and our coach told me, he said, grab him. And I grabbed this young man, and I didn't know what for him, but I could see in his eyes something was wrong. And I said, why am I grabbing you? And he said, because I've got to go to this fight. There was a group waiting to fight him right outside of the field. And so I went over there and talked to those guys. I ran them off. They were very respectful to me. Came back and talked to the young man, talked him off the ledge. And I asked one of the guys who stopped him. I said, come here. I said, now, listen, I know you're in that gang. You don't have to tell me you're not. I know you are. And I said, you crossed that gang by doing the right thing for your teammate. He told the coach that this kid was going to fight, and I ended up stopping him. And I said, why did you do that? And he said, well, because you told me to. Well, I didn't realize you were listening, number one. And I said, well, what? I said, what registered your mind? And he said, well, he's my teammate. That's what you're supposed to do. And I realized at that point that jersey to him meant more to that kid than being in that gang did. You know, people just want to belong. They want to belong. And to give them an alternative to belong to something good, a good game instead of a bad game. To me, that's how you change lives and break generational cycles, whatever those generational cycles are.
Yeah, I tell you, it's all about the team. It's all about working and living together. You know, I tell people all the time, about 90% of this country want to live together. Yeah, the 5% at the top and the 5% at the bottom. I used to say 10. I've sort of shrunken in a little bit. So 5% at the top and 5% at the bottom. The top wants to sort of steal things in a different way, and the bottom wants to steal things in a different way. That 90% in the middle want to live. They want to enjoy life. Life's too short. Enjoy life. And that sounds like what you're doing each and every day. And God, I can't thank you enough for, again, for what you do and what you continue to do. Thanks to John Bradshaw, Layfield, for being on the show today. And I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And you've been listening to Your Next Mission podcast. And thank you for listening today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. Hopefully now it's a good review. I don't want no bad reviews. You can also visit our partners there and who can provide so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. And you also visit the corporate partners that actually have jobs that are available for you. Please let me know what I can do to assist you. You know, it's not about sitting on the bench. It's about getting in the team, getting in the fight, getting in the football game here, whatever you're doing, but it's about helping each other in life. Please follow us on social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. I didn't hear about this stuff a few years ago, but now I know about it. And thanks again to John Bradshaw Layfield for being on the show with us today. It was such a great pleasure to have you on the podcast. It's a highlight of my day. There's no question about that. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. So please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. I want to end each podcast with a little story about me and my experience in the military. But I think John just covered it, everything that I could probably thought about saying today. It's about life. It's about God. It's about believing in what you do each and every day. It's about that circle of life. It's about taking a step forward and changing people's lives. You know, again, we have a great country. Let's do what we can to make it a better country. Let's do what we can to help people that are less fortunate in some cases. It's the little things that in life that changes so many people. And I love saying this. It's not what you have. It's what you do with what you have. And that's exactly what John Bradshaw Layfield is doing. So thanks to Cloudcast Media and, of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, and Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do and continue to do for our veterans. See you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.